Greetings today in Jesus' precious name. How we thank God for the firm foundation that has been laid for the saints of the Lord. I tremble today. The topic that has been given to me to share with you all, the leader and his wife. I've been married 25 years. To one wife. And I don't have any intention of trading off. God has been very good to me. I desire today, by God's grace and help, that we could get a clear biblical look from God's point of view what our place is, our calling for all of us who have a wife. How many today in this room have a wife? Let me see your hands. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come in Jesus Christ's name. Father, we confess, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would come, Lord, and meet with every husband here today. Father, we ask that you would come, Lord, and open up our eyes to behold the wondrous, beautiful things and purposes and plans that you have for us. Father, we pray that you would lay upon our hearts, Lord, the high and the holy and the awesome place as a husband. Father, we pray that you would open up our eyes to see the plans that you have, Lord, for our husband and wife relationships, for the glory of God, for the defeat of Satan, for the purpose of godly homes and families and godly children. Oh Lord, today I confess I am not able, Lord, but I look to you, God, and I ask you, Father, that you would come, Lord, and speak to our hearts, Lord, lest it just be some words and a few illustrations and we go home unchanged. Oh God, please, Lord, have mercy upon us, Lord, and have mercy upon me, Father, and descend in the spirit of holiness upon every heart, Lord. Oh, Father, We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for the conviction of the Holy Ghost, Lord, for conviction of sin, Father. And we pray for the Holy Ghost illumination of righteousness, how that we may righteously live and behave ourselves with our life. And Father, for righteous judgment, Lord, oh God, please come and teach us, Lord. We sit at your feet, Lord. We open up our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to begin in the beginning. The Bible tells us that in the beginning God created. In the beginning God created. And it goes on to tell us all the different things that God created. And every time after God created, he said it was good. God saw that it was good, and God created, and he saw that it was good. And so goes the account of the creation of God. It was good. It was good. And finally God said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. So God created man in his image, and in the likeness of God created he him, and male and female created he them. And God looked upon all the things that he had created, and he said, behold, it is very good. The Bible tells us how God created man. He formed him out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Then we turn to Genesis 2, and we have the first indication that something is not very good. And that is when God says, as he looked upon man and he saw the man alone there in the garden where he had created with all of the animals and all of the monsters in the sea and everything that God had created, and the Lord God said, it is not good. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. The Lord God said, it is not good. He is not sufficient in himself. He is not satisfactory in himself that the man should be alone. I will make an helper suitable for him. I will make an help meet for him, which means suitable or adapted to him, that will complement him. God created a helper suitable for Adam. When it came time for God to make a helper suitable for Adam, he did it in a different way. He didn't go and scoop up some dust like he did to make Adam. Now he causes Adam to fall asleep, and he puts Adam into a deep sleep, and he takes one of his ribs, and he closes up the flesh thereof instead, and the rib from which the Lord God had taken out of Adam, from that made he a woman. He took of Adam's flesh, he took of Adam's bones, and from that he formed and fashioned woman and brought her to man. And Adam said these famous words, this is now bones of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I want to, by the grace of God, try to convince you today what a beautiful, perfect gift that God has given to each one of us to have a wife. God created a helper suitable for us. It's like when we got married, God gave unto us a beautiful, beautiful gift. Most of us, when we got our wife as a very beautiful, perfect gift from God. God gave us a beautiful gift. He gave us a help suitable for us, made in the out of our own flesh and in the image and likeness of God himself, just like he created man. And God gave unto us this beautiful gift called a wife. And today I want to convince you by the grace of God that none of us would take our wife for granted, or that we would treat her as a light thing, and that we would not understand what God has designed in the Christian marriage. God gave you your wife. And when God gave you your wife, she was made suitable for you. Do you believe that? God made her suitable for you. He made her an help meet. That means suitable and sufficient in every way. I wonder sometimes if we believe that. God gave you your wife. A beautiful gift. Most of us, when we received our wife and we took our wife, she came complete in many, many ways. If she was raised in a godly home by godly parents, she was raised in an atmosphere of purity and blessing and beauty and holiness, and we received her that way. Now sometimes there are distresses in life, and sometimes when we take a wife or we take our wife, there may be some flaws, there may be some areas where she needs to be beautified. And that's just exactly why God brought her to you, that you as her husband can nurture her and can minister to her and make her beautiful in every way as God designed. Jesus confirmed what was confirmed in the beginning. Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Wherefore what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." You know something wonderful happens. When we enter into a covenant relationship with our wife, God takes two. Now this is amazing. God takes two individuals and God joins them together so that they are no more two. They are no more twain. But now they are one. Joined together by God Almighty Himself. Oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? God joins together a husband and a wife. And we begin a journey for life together until death do us part. Never to be severed or put asunder by man. The Bible tells us, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And therefore, because of this great institution of marriage by a holy God, He says, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife. He shall cling to her. He shall abide fast with her. He shall pursue after her. He shall stick with her. Beautiful. He shall be joined together. Now, we have many things we could look at today, and I feel like I would like to at least share just a few things here as we look at this in the opening here, part of the message here. God has given to you a wife. The Bible tells us that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now my wife isn't a thing. And I was so glad when I looked this up in the Bible dictionary, thing was a word added by the translators. God never put it there. It was not in the original text. Glory! You know those 999s in your concordance. It says, oh, it was inserted by the translators. So rather we could say, whoso findeth a wife, findeth good. He findeth good. And good is... Now listen. Sometimes, I know, you say, you guys are too mushy in how you describe your wife. But now just listen. This word good has the meaning right out of Strong's, most beautiful. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth good, most beautiful. What do you think Adam's response was that day when God brought Eve unto him? Most beautiful. God himself bringing her down the altar to the marriage that day. And Adam wondered, what's happening? And here the Lord presents to him his wife. Adam says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He knew what happened while he was asleep. There she was, taken from his very own side, from his very own flesh. Not foreign dust over here somewhere, but out of his very own flesh, so that he should nurture and care for her and cherish her. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth good, most beautiful, pleasant, precious, prosperity, sweet. He that findeth a wife, findeth good. He findeth most precious, most pleasant, most beautiful, and sweet. I hope that's your testimony today, and if it's not, it's my desire to convince you by the Word of God that it can be. You're not married to the wrong one. You are not married to the wrong one. When God brought you two together, even if you were sinners and estranged from God, you're not married to the wrong one. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A worthy wife, earnest and strong in character, is a crown to her husband. Proverbs 31, just let me convince you. You can find a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. Now I want you to just think about your wife. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. So that he shall have no need of spoil, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now think about your wife and the value of your wife. She speaketh woe and flesh, and she worketh willingly with her hands. Is that your wife? She worketh willingly with her hands. She seeketh out that which is good and right. She bringeth her food from afar. She goes out there and she searches out where she can find the best bargains in the groceries. And she shops very carefully with your money that you have earned. She bringeth food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night. She rises up while it is yet night. She giveth meat to her household. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She planteth a vineyard. She works in the garden. She plants the garden. She labors there. She girdeth her loins with strength. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She's not afraid of the snow. Hallelujah. A little bit of snow, a little bit of cold. She's out there working just like always. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. I mean, she's sewing, she's making the garments, she is making the dresses. Her husband is known in the gate. Now stop. We are what we are, men, a lot of us in this room, because of our godly, virtuous wife that we have. Amen? You see, it was not good for the man to be alone. He wasn't complete in himself. Now give me grace, all you singles. I'm preaching to the married men today. There is a place for singlehood. Brother, if you're married today and you have a wife, you need to understand the value that God has placed on your wife and the relationship between you and your wife. This is very core to godliness and righteousness and holiness. Don't you just sweep this aside and say, well, this is not that important. It's very important. Her husband is known in the gate. When he sitteth among the elders, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Isn't that your wife? In her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. When was the last time you praised your wife? When was the last time you just sat her down and shared with her how much she means to you? How precious a gift she is from God. How she complements your life. How she makes you complete. How she blesses your soul. He praises her. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. While you are turning there, I will say, I was not here yesterday. I was downstairs with the minister, so I don't know what you heard yesterday. But if you get it again today, just take it from God as God is trying to get your attention. Ephesians chapter 5. Now I know you'd like to start in verse 22, but we're not going to. There's a reason we're not going to start in verse 22. We men are pretty good at seeing needs of others, especially our wife. Somebody read that to me from back there. What does it say? Can you read it? I want you to read the next line too. Can you read it? Please, men, if we're going to get the mileage what we need to get today, you just can't read that last part. So many times we look at the Bible with our glasses on, and what we should be getting is like this print down here that I can't read. It's just not sinking in. But the part that speaks to my wife, that's jumping off the page in bold. And we pat ourselves on the back. We're holy men. We got it all together. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular love his wife even as himself." And the fine print that you can't read from back there? Let us begin in verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, and may I say without exception, so love his wife even as himself. Now we men are quick to pick up on Ephesians 5:22, and so we may as well say it here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. But I would like for us to zero in on verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now what does that mean? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Jesus Christ gave himself up for the church. He laid down his life for the church. He pleased not himself, but he became servant for the church. He surrendered his own will and his own rights for the church. Oh God, would you please open up our eyes? Don't run off and call me a heretic too quick here. Just listen. Because the scriptures say wives are to submit themselves to husbands, what about husbands mutually submitting in the marriage relationship as head over the wife? But what about submitting my rights? What about laying down my life for my wife? You see, just because, and we men, we get this so wrong so often, just because God says the husband is the head of the wife, that does not mean that the husband has any right to put his wife down there and stand on her. That does not mean that at all. That does not mean that she has to submit to my every whim and desire. And that I'm in authority around here, and you're going to submit to me. And so your wife, who came to you as a beautiful gift, as a beautiful, free, loving, blossoming, open-hearted, lovely wife, as this bouquet of roses I set before you, she came to you pure, holy, innocent, full of life, with great expectations of what godly man she's marrying and how you will treat her and nurture her and bless her and love her as Christ loved the church. And she has great potential. She has gifts and callings of God in her life also And God's design and desire is to bring two people together for the glory of His name. So that there might be a completeness. So that we wouldn't be so lopsided all by ourselves, men. But you know, as marriage goes on down the road, all of that beauty, all of that gifting, and all of those things that God designed in your wife, God put in there to work a work of completing in us, men. And if we take our position as the head with the wrong attitude of "you must submit to me," and we will not hear our wife, but we will just stand on her, we are not going to be complete in Christ as He has designed for us to be. Because God has placed in your wife, in your wife, the very things that He wants to work out in you to make you a more godly man. Do you believe that? You see, when God made Eve for Adam, He knew what Adam needed. And when God made your wife for you, He knew what you needed. You're not married to the wrong one. Husbands, I want to introduce to you a thought that may be shocking. If the Bible calls brethren to submit one to another in the fear of the Lord, what about husband and wife? Mutual submission under the headship of God our Savior Jesus Christ. Mutually submitting one to another. But you know what? You can choose today, and you have chosen throughout your life, what you do with those things that are in your wife that bug you, that irritate you, that rub you the wrong way. And you can just go out and you can just pull out the verse. Well, the Bible says, "Wife, you must submit to me. So, we're going to do it my way." Because that's what the Bible says. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He gave Himself up for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word." Boy, Aaron, you're getting pretty far off here. You're taking away all my authority, all my headship. I mean, if I started letting my wife have any say in the matter, she'd run me over. You need to get an understanding of the picture that God has given unto us of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible tells us we are to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. And how did He love her? He laid down His life for her. Amen? He laid down His life for her. Men, there are areas. Husbands, there are areas where it's righteousness and holiness to lay down our life for our wife. There are areas where God is laying His finger on your heart, where you need to lay down your life for your wife. I believe that. I don't stand before you today as one who is perfect or has attained and learned all these things. I'm in the school of Christ. I'm in the school of learning. Together my wife and I are learning and growing together. But you know, especially from a religious background many times. The men who are so accurately, scripturally correct, pull these verses out. And they don't give their wife any breathing room. They don't give her any room to be herself, to be what God has called her to be, and what God has called for her to contribute to the marriage relationship. And so we go on crippled, because I won't face my need. It's my wife bringing it to me, so I can't see it. And I just shut her out. That's very sad. We are stunted in our spiritual growth and in our walk with God because of those things. Let us turn to a few other texts here today. We may come back to this a little bit later. I'd like for you to turn with me to Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 19. Colossians 3 and verse 19. But before you read it from your Bible, I want to just put this up here again. I have someone here to read. What do you see up here? Colossians 3, 18 and 19. What can you see up here? What can you read? What can you determine? Can you read it? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Can we just zero in on that? Or do we get it turned around again? And we see Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And many times even forget to quote the rest of the verse. I've heard many men quote this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And just stop right there. But the Bible goes on to qualify that submission and says, as is fit in the Lord. As is fit in the Lord. But he says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them. Do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. You see, when those things that God has put in your wife to work a work of death in you and a purifying in your heart, when those things that rub you take place and you begin to become resentful and bitter toward your wife. Bitterness creeps in your heart like a poison.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 6 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear a menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.